Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing. Say, I am rejoicing. I choose to rejoice, to be glad, and to give thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. I want to just share this with us this morning, and we're going to praise here in a minute. But the scripture tells us in Isaiah 61, and here at verses 1 through 3, this is a prophetic word concerning Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus reads this in Luke chapter 4, declaring that this day has come, and we're in that day. He said, because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If there's any brokenheartedness, he is here to heal. Yeah, continually. He says to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to preserve those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. And now he says the oil of joy. The oil, that oil represents the anointing. There is an anointing. Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing, there is an anointing for joy for you who mourn. So if you're in mourning, he says there is an anointing to break that, to give you joy. And he says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What is heaviness? It is a heaviness. It is a weightiness, depression, oppression, pressure, things that come to try to weigh you down. He's letting you know it is a spirit. It is a spirit of heaviness, and it is not the Holy Spirit. No. So again, he has given you a prescription. He says, you put on the garment of praise. So just like we all got up this morning and we put on some clothes, he says, in that same manner, you choose, and you, as an act of your will, you put on praise. You put it on, because what's it going to do? It's going to break the spirit of heaviness and send him on the run so that joy may enter in. He said in Psalm 8:2, he said, out of the mouth, out of your mouth, of babes and nursing infants, he says, you have ordained. That ordained says he has given you an order. He has given you a command. This is God's order and way of doing things. He says, you have ordained strength. That word strength actually better translates praise. Out of your mouth, he has ordained praise, which is your weapon, which is your strength. He says, why? Because of your enemies. And what's it going to do? Silence the enemy and still the avenger. Out of your mouth, when you choose to put on praise, the enemy has nothing to stand on. You take his knees out from under him, you put a gag in his mouth, he has nothing to lay hold of you. That pressure, that heaviness, it has to go. It has to go. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, we enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Now hear this, Psalm 9 verses 1 through 3. This was David, and he says this here, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Now notice here, he said, I will. He obviously wasn't feeling like it in the moment, but he says, I choose. I will. I choose to do this. And again, he says, second time, I will declare all your marvelous works. Third time, I will be glad and rejoice in you. Again, I choose to put this on this morning. And fourth time, I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Now hear this, when my enemies are turned back, they will stumble and perish at your presence. We enter into his presence with praise and in thanksgiving. And in his presence, heaviness, grief, sorrow, whatever has been harassing you, whatever has been dogging you, just falls away. It just melts away. Again, Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. You can be going through a storm, and just like Jesus, the Prince of Peace himself, there was a hurricane, and where is he at? In the back of the boat, sleeping. In the back of the boat, sleeping. In perfect peace. I'm talking, there is a supernatural anointing and grace. And it's here this morning. He says, whose mind is stayed on you because we trust in you. So we're going to, in faith this morning, we're going to choose to put on the garment of praise and give glory to his name.
Jesus, our Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. This morning, we receive your peace. We receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit, who is our comforter this morning. Father, we know you're a good God, and we thank you for the promise. For those of us who know you, for those of us who have received you, that we will see you face to face. We will see Zayn. We will see Houston and all our loved ones who has gone on before us. We thank you, Father, for keeping them. We thank you, Father, that they are having right now the best time of their lives. They're not hurting. They're not suffering. They are having literally the best time. And we can see them right now with the smile on their face. I've been seeing Zayn in a white robe with the biggest smile. And we know he's preaching with Jesus right now. We know he's running around having, meeting everybody if he hasn't already. And we know Houston's fishing. Praise God. And so we thank you, Father, this morning. We invite the Holy Spirit. You are here ministering to each and every heart. Those here, those watching, those who couldn't make it this morning, and those that will be coming in the future. We thank you. You're doing a work that only you can do. We know we can trust you. And I thank you right now that, Father, even as we think about our loved ones, that we can see them with you. We can see them having the best time. Give us those images. Give us those dreams. Give us those visions. We ask for them as you're ministering to the people today. We thank you so much for what you're about to do. We thank you right now in advance that we're not going to leave here the same. We're not going to leave here the same as when we walked in. And I thank you, even though we can't understand the joy and the love and the presence that we feel, we know you're here and we receive that by faith. Say, I receive it by faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. You all may greet one another this morning in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're not without hope, just like the song said. Amen. We're not without hope. We can focus on him and love on him. Hallelujah. I'm just giving everybody a moment to greet one another. You may be seated when you're done. Praise God. I just have a few announcements this morning as we're getting started. We want to welcome those of you online and welcome all of you for the first time here this morning. And hopefully you all got a gift bag, and if you filled out the card, you can put that in the offering basket as it goes by. If you didn't get a card and you're here for the first time, you can raise your hand and Rhonda or Mary Anna will get that to you. Praise God, there's more people coming in from outside, but we want to let you know about us. Our website's vlfc.church, and we are going to be here. We'll be doing a service for Zayn, but we don't have the date yet on that. And so we will keep you posted as far as that goes. And it will also be online and those kinds of things. And it won't be here because this room's not going to hold everybody. I'll just tell you that right now. And so we will keep everybody posted on that. And so we're also on YouTube, Rumble channel, Facebook, Instagram. And so there's more outlets on the way, so you can find out more about us. Sunday's doors open at 9 and pre-service prayer is from 9:20 to 9:40. Service starts at 10. And there's refreshments. There's a coffee station back there. Even afterwards, there's a meat and cheese tray and those kinds of things. If you want to stay and visit with one another after today, there's food and refreshments for that. We want to let you know Wednesday's doors open at 6. Service starts at 6:30. So come early as well on Wednesdays. And Wednesdays, the format has shifted for this season into Holy Spirit services. So this can look different. This will look different week to week. It's a time of worship. It's a time of prayer. It's a time of refreshing. It's a time of ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's not the normal, you know, it's not the normal format. We're going to flow with the Holy Spirit. We're going to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And we invite you to come on Wednesday nights. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of refreshing and learning how to operate in those gifts as well. And we want to also let you know, volunteers for our worship team. We have a keyboard. That's part of our phase two. We're calling in a keyboard and our worship team. We're thankful for the TVs for now, but we know that there's more to come. So those of you who have those talents of music ministry and singing, you know, we are excited for our worship team and greeters and ushers and those kinds of things. So if you're interested in getting involved, we need everyone to be involved. Praise God. This is the house of the Lord in a house. Don't you know we all got to have our part to do? And so praise God, we invite you, whatever the Lord's asking you to do or calling you to do. And we want to work with you on that. And the part that I'm sharing also this morning is we've begun phase two of the vision for our building. So for phase two, we're believing for $100,000. And that's for the building, the next building and the next level we're going into. Because right now we're thankful we have the one room for the children. Praise God. But there's many different ages of children here today. And we're growing out of that, and we're growing out of that quick. And Zayn's been a part of that. Praise God. He's a little preacher, and we've talked about this before, that for our children's ministry, we want to have the platform, the worship, allow them to get up and minister in there. We've been laying hands on one another, praying for healing. We just did that last week. And y'all saw he came up here after service and stood between Pastor Rodney and I, and he preached his message. And what was the message? Yeah. God, he did. God is a good God. Yeah. He's here to help you. If you need help, all you have to do is ask him for help. If anyone needs prayer, he said, come up for prayer. He said he loves you so much. He stood up here for a while, and everyone stood here and or sat and listened to what he had to say. Praise God. And so we want to give the children that opportunity. And so that's what part of this phase is. We see a playground. Sarah's been in there with us. We've been dreaming and building our vision out. We want to give them that opportunity because the Lord says, and I say this all the time, let the little children come to me. We can learn so much from them. Every time I've been in there with them, I come out refreshed, full of faith, energized, because they see the Lord and they're in that pure light. And so we, you know, honor the children, honor Zayn even with that. And so if you want to find out more about the vision, those of you who have been here, we have these posters here. Most all of us who are here, we have them on our refrigerator or in our office so we can keep the vision before us. We have the building, the sanctuary, the fellowship hall. We all like to get together here and enjoy the fellowship and food and refreshing. The children's ministry with multiple classrooms, because you know you need the nursery and then the toddlers and all the age levels so that they can be ministered to effectively. This is not babysitting. This is, we're praying. We are speaking the word of God. We're teaching them how to speak the word of God and how to believe the word of God. First thing, right off the bat, this is the children's ministry, men's and women's group, breakout groups, prayer teams. We see it all. And you know, we started in our basement and we went to the hotel room and now we're here. And so the Lord just keeps enlarging the vision and he shows us what to do. And so we're sharing that. So believe with us, release your faith. And as you sow, he's going to provide in your own households. Praise God. And so, you know, the word says, give and it's given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. And also, as we're sowing, it's into eternal kingdom work. So we're going to see Houston again. We're going to see Zan again. Amen. We're going to see those, each other, all of us, in heaven and glory with the Lord. Praise God, we're not without hope. So this morning, as you're given by cash or credit card, just fill out the envelope, sign the signature line if it's by credit card, make checks payable to VLFC if you're given online. The information is on your screen. And let's go ahead and say our offering confession. I didn't know if I was going to do that this morning, but let's go ahead and do that. Say this after me. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. Seed, we speak to you. Produce a mighty harvest. We are getting our buildings, our lands, and all of our resources. We call every bill paid, every need met. We are furnished in abundance. Angels, go get our harvest. Bring it to us. Double, 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 and double again in Jesus' name. Praise God, you may receive the offering.
Praise the Lord. Well, welcome here, everybody, today. It's so good to see your faces here in church this morning. Praise God. Holy Spirit is here to do a work. Holy Spirit is here to do a work. Amen. And we're reaching out by faith, each and every one of us, amen, to receive that this morning. So by faith on purpose, I'm asking you to hook up. Asking you to engage. Amen. You know, church is not a spectator sport. You know, hey, go preacher, go. No. We're all in this together. Praise God. Holy Spirit is here through this vessel to do a work. Amen. So praise God. So this isn't just something, you know, the words that I'm sharing with you is not my words. You know, yes, I've studied and been in ministry and Bible college and all those things that we do, but no. Every time, every service, I'm trusting on Holy Spirit to bring the word that you need. Amen. Praise God. And here's the thing, and I have experienced this over the years in my own life. You know, I've been in church, you know, and then, you know, even when I was sitting up under another pastor, you know, pastor's preaching on healing, for example, and I've got something going on in my life concerning I need wisdom for an area. I have a financial need, and sitting there in church, you know, Holy Spirit will just minister a word to me regarding my situation that has nothing to do with what pastor was actually talking about, but I'm sitting under an anointing. Hallelujah. And so I want to let you know this morning, you are sitting under an anointing, and it is the anointing that removes the burdens, that destroys the yokes. It is that oil of joy here to comfort all who might mourn. Hallelujah. So whatever you need in your life, in your body, in your heart, Holy Spirit is here to do that work. And if you will hook up by faith this morning, and every time you come to church, He will be so real to you. He will minister a word to you. So I'm asking you, hook up with me this morning in faith. And I know you are, in Jesus' name. So Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time and this opportunity. Lord, you said in Hebrews 10, you said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves as is the manner of some. You said, especially as we see that day approaching. And Lord, you said that we might be able to come together, Lord, and encourage even one another in faith. But Lord, we receive here, there is that side of it. We receive, there is that corporate faith. There is that corporate anointing. And we are hooking up together with you because Jesus, you said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am. I want you to know the I am is here this morning, and He's here to do a work. And so, Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, as I believe everybody here knows, this has been a significant week. It has been a significant week. You know, we've had a couple of our families here. We've had a couple of our saints go home to be with the Lord. You know, and these were sudden transitions. You know, it may have been a surprise to you and I, but it was not a surprise to God. It's not a surprise to the families that are already there before them. I've heard so many stories of folks who have gone to heaven, you know, even for a brief amount of time, you know, and come back. And they said when they got there, their loved ones were there to greet them. Their friends and loved ones, they knew. They know the time of their arrival, you know, and they were there to greet them, show them around, give them an orientation. Ha ha. Glory to God. And the things that they even talked about with those, it's like when they stepped over, they didn't even realize it. They were just here and they blinked and they were there. We shared a couple of weeks ago, we've been sharing on a series, The Authority of the Believer. And we were sharing on that we've been seated together with Christ. Colossians chapter 3, past tense. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were born again, baptized into the life of Christ, and at that moment, your eternal life in Christ began. We're not waiting till we get to heaven to experience Christ or experience heaven. No, we're here to live out in days of heaven on earth. The Word tells us in Romans 5:17 that we are to reign in this life through one man, Jesus Christ. Glory to God, but that life we share in now. We are already seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. So when this body falls, goes by way of the grave, you instantly just transition over into that place. Hallelujah. And I'm here to tell you, there's no crying, there's no dying, there's no grief, there's no sorrow. It says what? In His presence is fullness of joy. Huh. This side of heaven, we do not know what that really looks like. You know, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan is the god of this world. You were born into this atmosphere, into this place. And by the grace of God and because of the church and His word and these things, we're able to experience the taste of these things. But it's nothing like heaven. Heaven, there is absolute absence of sin, all of its effects, grief, sorrow, all of that there is absolutely not there. God is light. And read in Revelation, he's talking about heaven and he shares some things with us. God is light. In heaven, there is absolutely no shadows. There's no dark alleys. Everywhere you go is completely flooded with light. There's nowhere that you can go that there's any shadows. That's just an idea of what it's like. Perfect joy, perfect peace. Hallelujah. And that is our eternal position. Glory to God. Ha ha ha. Soon and very soon. It won't be long. It will not be long. We are in the last of the last of the last days. I'm 47 years old. I am beyond any shadow of a doubt. I will not live out the full number of my days on this earth before the Lord returns. Alice, she's 6 months old. I don't believe she's going to see 18 before the Lord comes. We just don't have that long. Israel became a nation in what, 1948? The scripture says prophetically that Israel, again, before Christ, he was speaking prophetically what was going to happen to the nation of Israel, and it happened. They were dispersed in the great dysphoria, right? 1900 years later, they once again became a nation. Only by the hand of God could that ever be possible. Who ever heard of a nation being completely dissolved, destroyed, and 1900 years later, they became a nation once again? The people, even as an identity, you know, where's the Roman Empire? You know, is there any Romans here? No. Glory to God. Any of those nations you've ever read about, all the ites and all the what, they're not coming back. Those people, their identities are gone forever. But God made a nation. He restored that nation as He said He would. And He said that this nation, once they're restored, He said, this generation will not pass away without seeing the return of the Lord. That was 1948. We don't have long. Glory to God. There's other prophetic signs, but all of those words point to these are the last of the last of the last days. We're literally in the final act. Glory to God. And I know He saved the best for last for us. Glory to God. So we are rejoicing in that. So again, we are not without a hope. We're not without comfort. And we are not without the presence of God. No, these are the last days, and we're going to see it more and more, and we've seen it already, but there is an outpouring reserved for this church. He said, when Jesus said, when I return, he says, I'm coming back for a glorious church. A glorious church. Yes, what is the glory? The glory, if you really want to translate it in the simplest form, glory is the manifested presence of God. And in his presence, there is everything good. Hallelujah. Everything good. The manifested presence of God. And we're pressing to see more of it. Glory to God. But here today, as we gather, I want to really point out, we are not here in any way to give place to sorrow. We're not here to give any place to pain or grief. That is not of God. Again, that is the spirit of heaviness that is here to keep you in bondage. To keep you, and again, if you go with the natural, they talk about degrees and, you know, of grief and all. Where is that in the Bible? It's not there. You have one prescription. Put on the garment of praise. I'm not pretending these things aren't real or that things don't occur, but I refuse to allow the devil to continue to steal from my soul and from my life. And realizing this, we're going to touch more on this. But the scripture says in Ephesians 4:27, it says, do not give the devil any place. Also, that translates, do not give the devil a foothold in your life. Grief and sorrow is absolutely an open door for the enemy to come in and set up camp. No, it's a whole lot easier if you'll shut the door on him right now than to let him come in and just, you know, take over your refrigerator and move in and start wrecking house. No. We're going to shut him off right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. I want to share a scripture with you here. First off, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, just so that we have this foundation in us, it says, now may the God of peace. If it's not peace, it's not God. When you've got things that come into your life and it's not peace, no, it's not God. He is the Prince of Peace. There is only peace. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. That sanctify just means separate you. Separate you or sanctify you completely, and may your entire spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. I'm not trying to do it in and of myself. I'm not trying to follow, well, I've got a 7-step method here and I'm going to try to pull myself up. No, I'm looking to him. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one. But I want to note here, man is a 3-part being. You, when you got born again, your body did not get born again. Your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions did not get born again. You still have all your same old memories and, you know, for better or worse, you know, some of those old habits that need to go away. But those are things in your soul. But what got born again? Your spirit man. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, at that new birth, you became a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Where? In your spirit. So now you are supposed to be living from your spirit man. Amen. This is going to transform your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, which will also now transform your physical body. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? So again, the spirit man, that is the eternal part of us. That is the person who at that moment in time was seated in Christ at the Father's right hand. We are a spirit, a soul made up of our mind, will, and emotions. And currently we live in a physical body known as our earth suit. Our earth suit. This body is what gives you access to this earth. When this body dies, you no longer have a voice in this earth. You go to be with the Father in the realm of the Spirit at the right hand of God. That's where Zayn and Houston and all of our loved ones are right now. Their physical body went by way of the grave, but they didn't die. Though they're more alive now than they have ever been. Glory to God. So again, when a believer dies, their body stops functioning. Their soul is released from any earthly limitation, and their spirit immediately transforms into the presence of God. And again, every account of it has always given that same thing. I was here and I didn't know. There was a fire. There was a car crash. Different ones. These things happened. I wasn't there. I wasn't in the fire. You know, however it happened, I was just gone. You know, the crash occurred, but I wasn't there. You know, however it was, the Lord just received them out. You know, before that, they were not in torment. They were not. I was here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Glory to God. So again, this is not a loss. This is simply a transition. This is not defeat. This is arrival. Again, this is not sorrow. This is completion. This is completion. You know, it's interesting, you know, everybody wants to go to heaven, but for many folks, it's like no one wants to die. But we all want to go to heaven, you know, and when someone goes, we're to celebrate that. Amen. Because we're all going to be there in just a few more days. Yes, we miss our loved ones. There's no doubt about that. Absolutely. Glory to God. I have loved ones that have gone on before me. Praise God. And I remember them. And there's times that I miss them, but I'm not getting into grief or sorrow about them. No, because I know where they are. They're in my future. I'm going to literally have eternity with my grandfathers, you know, with different ones, Zayn and Hugh, all of them. Praise God. Each and every one of us, we're going to have for all of eternity. Huh? Yes, your children are waiting on you in heaven. You're going to continue to raise him in heaven. It's going to be without the curse, without the God of this world. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Huh? Yes, in Christ. In Christ, we're not going to give the enemy any place, but no, we stand in the Prince of Peace, in the God of all comfort. Praise God. And in the resurrection life that we already possess. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4 says, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He's the God of all comfort. Do not seek comfort from anywhere else. Comfort comes from him. He is the God of all comfort. Hallelujah. Keep your eyes and your hearts turned towards him in every situation. Again, Isaiah 26:3, I will keep you in perfect peace because your mind is stayed on. Again, he's talking about your soul. I turn my affections. I turn my heart towards you, God, in the midst of the storm, especially. I'm going to stand up and praise God. I'm going to stand up. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. I'm not going to magnify how much I'm missing this loved one. I'm going to turn around and say, Lord, I want to thank you for the years that I did have. I want to thank you for the life that I did have. We're all blessed because of it. Glory to God. And again, this is not the end. Praise God. Hallelujah. The God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble by the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. The Holy Spirit, one of his names is Comforter, and he's in us. Praise God, we are to be yielding to him at all times and all things in every area of our life. Amen. But we're to have so much comfort in us that we're able to go and minister comfort to somebody else. You need some peace? I've got peace. You need joy? I've got joy. Glory to God. And I'm here to edify you. I'm here to encourage you in the Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Again, Paul calls him the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. This word for comfort in Greek is the word parakletos. It means one called alongside to help. Holy Spirit, he's called alongside to help. It also translates the one who strengthens you. He is the one who consoles you. He's the one who lifts you. And he's the one who empowers you. I just don't see how I could ever get out of this mess. I just don't see how. I just don't see. Turn your eyes off of that and turn your eyes towards him. Turn your eyes to him. He will lift you. He will strengthen you. He will comfort you. This also translates the one who brings peace. He's the one. You will not find peace in anyone else. The one who stands with you and the one who stands in you. He's in you. Glory to God. He's in you. He's equipping you. Again, the Holy Spirit does not lead us into grief. If it is anything other than peace, it's not God. And you need to head it off. No, I'm not going to give that devil any place. Oh, but it feels. Feelings are real. Feelings can be powerful. But we are not to be governed by our feelings. Our soul will lie to you. No, I'm going to yield to truth. Yeah. I'm going to yield to the Prince of Peace in me. And I'll tell you this, the more you yield to him, the more you will yield to him. That's the same with the devil or anything else. The more you practice yielding to anything, the more you will continue to do so, and the greater that stronghold will be in your life. Strongholds are supposed to be a good thing. Amen. When we're building the right temple, when we're building up the right thing, giving place to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 11, 25 through 26. This is Jesus, red words. Jesus said to her, he's speaking to Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me, hear this, shall never die. Their body died. They didn't die. When they confessed Jesus, their old spirit man died once, the death of the cross. In Christ, you've already done all the dying you are ever going to do. Again, you are not a body. You are not a soul. You are a spirit. And you will live for all of eternity in one of two places, up or down. That's just a fact. Hallelujah. And there's nothing that you and I can do to change that fact. It is a reality, but we get to choose where we're going to go. Again, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He did not say he has resurrection. He said he is the resurrection. Again, he doesn't say that he just offers life. He says he is life. Where Jesus is, death loses its grip. It loses its voice. Where Jesus is, hope arises every time. And wherever Jesus is, victory stands. Glory to God. Again, Galatians 3:27 says, at the new birth, you were baptized into Christ. You were literally immersed into Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says that he who has been joined to the Lord is one spirit. You and I in Christ have all been made to drink of the one cup, the one spirit that is Christ. Paul writes about this in Ephesians 1. He's the head, we're the body. You can't separate a head from the body. The life that's in the head is the same life that's in the body, the same life that's in the big toe. Amen. In Christ, we all share. And so the word says in Romans chapter 8 that we are joint heirs with Christ. Whatever Christ has inherited, we have inherited. His life, his spirit, his grace, his anointing. The anointing that we read about here at the opening of service in Isaiah 61 that Jesus describes in Luke chapter 4, this is what he went preaching everywhere. He would go into the synagogue. He would turn to this and says, I am anointed. And then he would tell them about that anointing. Then he would tell them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your ears. And everywhere except Nazareth, they rejoiced and they saw signs and wonders and miracles and all these things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That anointing has never left this earth. That anointing is still in and on his body. That's me. That's you today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're not focusing on the sting of death. No, no, no. The scripture says that sting of death has been swallowed up in victory. So again, death is not the headline here today. Jesus is. Jesus is. Because he lives, we live. Glory to God. So high. The word says, thank you, Lord. That's not my right notes. Turn the right page. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 8 says, we know that if our earthly house, this tent. So again, Paul says, this is a house. This body, it's just a house. It's a dwelling place. It's just a tent. What is a tent? A temporary dwelling. Were to be destroyed, we have an eternal building of God in the heavens, a house not made with hands. In this tent, in this body, we groan, earnestly desiring to be sheltered with our house, which is from heaven. Thus being sheltered, we shall not be found unsheltered. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we wish to be unclothed, but to be further clothed so that what is mortal might be swallowed up in life, the resurrection life. Now he who has created us for this very thing is God, who also has given to us the guarantee of the Spirit. At the new birth, you have this down payment, the scripture says, this guarantee. Holy Spirit moved into you. He moves into you. He says, now you're one spirit with me. 1 Corinthians 6 goes on to say in verse 19, 20, that do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He's not dwelling back there in Jerusalem in the Holy of Holies. You are the Holy of Holies. He says, you are now my living temple. I'm in you now and forever. This is your down payment. This is your guarantee that this promise is real. Glory to God. So again, this is why our loved ones, when their body passes, they just step right over. They're already there. You and I in the Spirit are already there. Glory to God. Now he who has created us for this very thing is God, who also has given to us the guarantee of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident. Say, I'm confident. Knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Instead, I say that we are confident and willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I love the Apostle Paul. He goes on. He says, I fought the good fight of faith. I've finished my course. I've run my race. Everything that God has charged me to do, I have now fulfilled. And you read about it in Philippians, even before this, he's like, I want to go. I want to go. I want to go. Paul had direct revelation. He was actually caught up into heaven. And don't you know, when people get a glimpse of heaven, they don't want to come back. And oh, he wanted to go. He said, but hey, it's more profitable for you if I'll stay. So for your sake, I'm going to stay on until he calls me to go home. Glory to God. And he did. But I love that. I've run my race. I've finished my course. And oh, I'm ready. Oh, I'm ready. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Let's go. Glory to God. Again, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So again, if our earthly house is destroyed, we already have a building from God, eternal in the heavens. What did Jesus say over in the book of Matthew? I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. Glory to God. You have a mansion. You have a dwelling place in heaven. Jesus has prepared it for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So again, our earthly body is a tent. It's temporary. It's fragile. It's limited. It does have an expiration date on it. Glory to God, but God has already prepared a house for us. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read this now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you ignorant, brothers, concerning those who are asleep, that you may not grieve. Say, I will not grieve. That is a command from the head of the church. Do not grieve as others who have no hope. Now, I can tell you this right now. If someone is not in Christ, you have a reason to grieve. You absolutely do. Because why? You don't have a hope. You do not have a hope. But in Christ, we have a glorious hope. Hallelujah. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Yes, I do. Verse 14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so God will bring with him all those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall be forever with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. We're to comfort one another. Hallelujah. So if we see someone struggling, go encourage them in the Lord. Huh? Hey, sister, brother, don't grieve. Don't sorrow. You know where your loved one is? Let's turn our attention over there. Let's turn our focus over there. Let's give thanks that Jesus came, that we even have this hope. Because before him, we did not have a hope. We did not have a hope. Oh, but Jesus. Let's turn our eyes on him. Amen. And if we'll do that, guess what? The enemy does not have a leg to stand on. He's cut off. Praise God. And what do we have now? Peace. Joy. Hallelujah. Who gets the glory? God. Who doesn't? The devil. No, he's already defeated. Thank you, Lord. So again, noting here, Paul does not tell us to manage our grief. This world, counselors, even Christian counselors, manage it, cope with it. Here's some steps to deal with it. Cast it out. Get behind me, Satan. That's not of God. It is written. No, I'm not receiving that today. You get to choose. I will put on the garment. I will rejoice. I will sing. That's what David did. I will, I will, I will. When I don't feel like it is especially when I choose, I will do so. Glory to God. Again, he inhabits the praise of his people. Again, sorrow not. We're not navigating sorrow. We're sorrowing not. Again, this is not about, you know, feelings. Feelings are real. I'm not pretending that they're not. I'm just not going to let my feelings lead me and guide me down the wrong path. It's not going to take me to the dark side. Amen. Glory to God. Sorrow is not my inheritance. Sorrow, let's all say this together. Sorrow is not my portion. Sorrow is not my identity. Sorrow is not my atmosphere. Because sorrow was not my inheritance. No. Again, sorrow can be an inroad to the enemy. Grief is an inroad to the enemy. And again, we open with this, with Ephesians 4:27. Do not give place to the devil. That also, in other translations, do not give the devil a foothold. Don't let him put his foot in the door and say, hey, let's try this on for size. Oh, you receive that? Oh, let me set up shop in here. Let me tell you. No, do not give him a foothold. It's a whole lot easier to keep the door closed on the devil than it is to get him out once he's set up shop in your house. Amen. Now, we can. But I'm telling you, it's a whole lot easier to just keep the door closed and to give him no place in Jesus' name. Grief, when embraced, again, it can be a foothold. It's a place where heaviness can settle, and it's a place where hopelessness tries to grow. Not here. No, again, we're going to refuse that. And by faith, again, we're turning our affections on Holy Spirit. My comforter, my peace, my hope, my victory. Ha, thank you, Lord, that resurrection life is alive in me now. Praise God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is alive in me now, and I choose to yield to that place in Jesus' name. And again, comfort one another with these. John chapter 3, 16, 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You and I were dead in sin. We were God's enemy. Again, in Adam, we rebelled against God. God said, I love you so much, I'm not going to leave you where you are. I'm going to lay down my life for you, my enemy, because I love you and I'm not changing. There's nothing you could ever do to make me love you any more or any less. I am agape. I am love. It is unconditional. That doesn't mean he's pleased with everything that happens. No, but I love you because I love you. And because I love you, I'm going to give first. And I'm going to give my all. I'm going to give my highest. I'm going to give my best. And Jesus did it. Hebrews chapter 12 says when he was hanging on the cross, he said he did it for the joy thereof. He's on the cross, crucified, about to go into the belly of the earth. There's nothing happy about that. But for the joy, he says, I'm doing this. Why? He saw you. He saw you and said, for this is that joy that you are now going to be restored back. You can now have fellowship with the Father. I can now, through this sacrifice, restore you back to my place. And so for that reason, you and I have become a joint heir with Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, in Adam all men die, but in Christ all men live. In Christ we are alive today. Ah, thank you, Jesus, because he loves us. For God so loved the world, he so loved me, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the heartbeat of God itself. This passage really sums it up. The heartbeat of God is love, first and foremost. And in that love, there is that rescue plan of redemption. There is eternal life, his life, the same Zoe life that he breathed into Adam in Genesis 2:7. Adam lost it. Adam fell. He says, I've come to restore it, to bring it back. I'm here to restore the sons of God. Satan thought he won. When he got Adam and Eve to bow the knee and to fall, no, God has the final say. God has the final say. God will not be defeated. And you and I on this side of the cross, the devil is 100% whooped. He has no place except what you and I have given him. But, and right now we're here to root him up, to root him out by number one, keeping the door closed on him in Jesus' name. Again, the heartbeat of God is love, rescue, redemption, eternal life, peace, comfort, and hope. Jesus came to save, to heal, and to restore, and to bring us his life, now and forever. Hallelujah. Say thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So we're going to close here, but Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 11 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be ashamed. Again, faith is of the heart. If you believe this in your heart and you add corresponding action to it and confess it out of your mouth, you are saved. You are born again, and you enter into that resurrection life. You enter into that eternal life. Glory to God. And so I want to invite you, if you're here today and you've not made that decision, if you need peace, if you need comfort, and if you need hope, yes, Jesus is here, and He is that answer. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one else is going to the Father except by me. I've done all the work. All you have to do is put your faith in it and receive the free gift of righteousness, and you can have it today. Glory to God, Zayin made that choice. And he was absolutely a preacher of it. You know, I heard something about Zayin a couple days ago. You know, and just he was such a witness. You know, but he was running up to this lady, never met her before. First words out of his mouth, do you know Jesus? And I want to ask you that same question today. Not that do you know about him? Do you know him? Do you know Jesus? Zayin, Houston, they knew Jesus. I want to invite you today to come to know Jesus. Amen. If you want, praise God, because we believe to see them again, but we're only going to see them in Jesus. Glory to God. We're going to spend eternity with them in Jesus. Glory to God. So let's all stand. And again, I want to invite you. If you've not yet made that decision, today is your day. Today's the day of salvation. Maybe you've been away from the Lord, but today is your day to make a fresh commitment. The Lord, I need you. Lord, I want you. I need that peace. Glory to God. Let's all pray this together out loud. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus is your Son and that you sent him to pay the price for my sin. I believe that you raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus, I confess you now as my Savior and my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart, take my life, and do something wonderful with it. All for your glory. I will serve you all the days of my life. Amen. Praise God. We believe according to Scripture that if you have prayed that prayer even for the first time, you are saved. You are in the kingdom of God. Heaven is your home right now. Praise God. And in this body, praise God, we are there. And as soon as this body expires, we're going to be present with the Lord. We have this hope. Praise God. I love you. Now, I want to also invite, if there's anybody here in the room and you need prayer, you need ministry, this altar is open to you. And I want to invite you to come and receive that right now. So we're just going to take a few minutes. And if that's you, come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. In the meantime, let's all just sing this. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Put your hands on your heart here. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Lord. We're going to be back here on Wednesday night, 6:30, Holy Ghost services. Next Sunday, pre-service prayer at 9:20. Service starts at 10. I want to invite you to come. Come. Praise God. The Holy Spirit is here to do a continual work. We don't need a one-time work. We need continual presence. Ephesians chapter 5:18 says, be being filled with the Spirit. Glory to God. We need a fresh feeling every day. Hallelujah. And I want to invite you to come and be a part of that corporately. Praise God, so that we can take this back home and walk in it daily. Glory to God. Well, in the meantime, know this. God loves you. We love you. And in Him, we are living in victory.